Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today's air date is March 7th, 2023. Welcome to Shabak Black Experience Enhanced tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's episode is We Have to Be More Careful. We are having an open mic discussion of how we can put an end to Black people being exploited and marginalized from other groups who have a misconception about us. We have to have cohesiveness amongst ourselves to prevent such atrocities through commerce, education, and the media. Please call in at 516-418-5996 with your comments, questions, and concerns. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. Okay, as we stated here, economically, what we have to do is start emphasizing more spending with each other on consumer goods, disposable goods, and cap. This means is that capital goods is spending amongst ourselves, getting equipment, supplies, and things that are necessary to open up a business, rather than agriculturally, commercially, or digitally. Also, too, we have to protect ourselves, you know, banking as well, too. Take your money out of Wells Fargo, not a BFA. Put it in a black-owned bank. And quite natural, of course, that bank, you know, has to be solvent and what have. Also, too, another thing, you know, where they're getting us at here is on these digital apps. Digital apps. Yeah. You know, all that garbage that comes up out of Silicon Game Valley from San Francisco to San Jose, even out there to Mountain View with Google and what have you, we have to be self-sufficient. And we have to have our own social media networks and our own digital apps as well, too, see, to enhance ourselves, okay? Because you can best believe, you know, these other crews are not going to come up here and help us do nothing. They're going to simply sit up there and take, you know, like they've been doing with us for the last 400 years, ever since that we were brought here. Yes, and I do see we have a caller here out of area code 803. Okay, if you'd like to comment, you know, just simply press 1. We'll be more than happy to have you on the air. Okay, now, commercially, is that when we go spend our money with other groups, what they in turn do is they take that money and they stack it. Why do you think you see all these other groups having businesses in the black community, from nail salons to barbershop consorios, to clothing companies, to fast food companies, and what have you? Okay, like Burger King, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, they make it a point to come set up there in the black community. And then they have the audacity to sit up there and say, well, we're doing this community a favor because we are providing jobs. Okay, great, beautiful, to a point, okay. Everybody's got to have a source of income to maintain their existence. But what's happening is that all these other groups, okay, are benefiting off of it as opposed to us. What have we been here for? What, 400 years now, you know, when we came off the slave ships right here, and ever since that we were brought here, you see, they're making more and more money off of us, except that something very wrong here. Now, this is where we get off into the educational aspect of it, you see, is because we got to train our youth to be self-sufficient. All these other groups, they come here, you know, with that there in mind, you know, to build up their own real estate, to build up their own commerce, to build up their own farms, to build up their own digital communities and with app technology and things of that nature right there. They go get educated. They taking that knowledge back to their community. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, Asians do this here in particular. You know, those out of the Islamic nations do this here in particular. Of course, the Europeans do it. But for some odd reason, they always want to set up a business or a franchise of something they're doing in the black community. Okay, it's because although we got high crime or high unemployment, but don't nobody spend money like we do. Okay, also, too, and we've stated here about how the entertainment industry and how Hollywood, you know, does this thing and what have you, you see, making money, you know, up off of us. You see what I'm saying? Except us, you see. So what's wrong with this picture here, ladies and gentlemen? And I see we got a couple of callers here, you know, so please press 1. We'll be more than happy to have you on the air and get some feedback from that being realized. Okay, and then recognizing the fact that all these other groups, you know, are pulling their resources together, but just what would happen with the economy if these other groups, if we all decided all at once, okay, not to spend our money there, you see what I mean? And what would happen? A classic case, although it's not going to happen, would be your major sports, okay, just had Super Bowl that was played and what have you. Imagine if all the players did not show up. Okay, so we got a caller here, you know, with the last 49951. Okay, unmute your mic. Okay, good evening there to you, 9951. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening. This is Comrade Amani, and I'm calling out of South Carolina.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Amani, and thank you so very, very much, sir. And could you please tell us what's going on there in South Carolina? Because we saw the old boy who got two consecutive life terms. What's his name? Murtag, Murda, or what have you, you know what I mean? You know, killing his wife and killing his child. And then also, too, they got some other improprieties going on down there with his brother by the name of Mr. Laval, who was murdered inside of police custody. And, you know, they don't want to give up none of the public information on it. Okay, so what's on your mind, Mr. Amani?
Definitely not that. I can care less about what those pale skins do to each other. That's not our business.
Yes,
we need to tend to our business. I'm here for us.
Yes, sir.
We need to get down to thinking bigger than the community. That's where we fall short every time. We have unfinished business from 1865 to 10-2. Over 150 years have passed, and we should have been had our nation established and nationalized ourselves. We are the greatest
resource
that we allow other people to utilize. So
that's
our shortcoming. That's our lack of leadership issue that we need to get to. But we don't need one leader.
Yes, sir.
We need a organization of leaders, what it calls committees. That's what they do on the corporate boards. We need to do it in a corporate style. That's the only thing that makes sense. That's the only thing that I can take from this experiment that they're running on us that we can utilize
mm-hmm.
the corporate system
mm-hmm.
to organize ourselves and provide the goods and services that capitalism provides for themselves. So
that's
what we need to take from these people. Now, the thing we need to do is nationalize. We need to withdraw our consent, not just boycott them. We need to withdraw our consent from them to govern us. What was it, back in 2015?
Okay.
Remember that Justice or Else March thing they had?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I didn't see no justice. So definitely, what's the else? It has to be the governing of ourselves because nothing else makes sense.
Right.
So
you're absolutely correct on that.
Because all this boycott
stuff. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good, but that's only a Band-Aid on cancer.
We need to reconsider
what we're eating. We need to stop eating these pig feet and hog maws and start eating alkaline foods and things that we know are good for us. You know, we need to build our own industries, have our own schools. We need our own everything. First of all, start with jurisdiction. We have to have areas, land, cities that are not strictly, that we run, that we're the majority in. And we can own. We can govern ourselves as a people. I mean,
That should have
been
150
years ago. We should have agreed on areas that we're going to concentrate on the series. Because we can't afford another generation to come up under these people here. We're not going to survive that.
Oh, I agree. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. You know what I'm saying?
So
most definitely.
If we don't get it done, we're done. I mean, there's not going to be a snowball chance in hell for the next generation.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, yes, sir. Go, please continue.
I really think that we need to get on the – I guess politics has like a bad name, but it's politicking is what we need to do amongst ourselves. We don't need to get involved with their foolery of lying to each other and stealing from the people. We need to get to agreeing on how we're going to utilize our resources for our benefit. Like you said, McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and everybody else pull up in the hood because it's a cash cow. We're dependent on anybody that has anything. We'll buy anything from anybody.
Yeah.
Except each other.
And that's for real.
That's what we need to change. We need to buy from ourselves. From each other.
Yes, sir.
And
this is what I mean. Yes, sir, absolutely. And then take that money and reinvest it back into the communities, because, see, this is what they do in the Asian community, man, particularly when you look at San Francisco, rather if they're Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, or what have you. They build up businesses amongst themselves. They put their own people to work, first starting off in their immediate family. Okay, you know, mama, papa, brother, sister. Then they go to their extended family, nephew, niece, and what have you. And then they build it again. And then they go open up another branch of said business, you know, regardless of what it is, you know, rather.
They have a different, they have a background that they can use to you know, provide a little security. They can always run to China. They can always go to, you know, other these other countries. We don't have that. So we have to provide that for ourselves. We need our own cities that we can have city states we can run to for security. Like whenever these, you know, they got Russia. They're dealing with now international stuff. They're really fighting wars over there. So Russia could say, you know what?
Yes, sir.
This is a proxy war. So they're going to just take it to the proxy head instead of, you know, fighting the war in their backyard. They're going to soon shift. And we better have some separation from these people, man. We better have some cities that are like, hey, guys, you know, we know that y'all got conflict, but we ain't got nothing to do with that. We need to have some areas
exactly.
Where we have exclusively for us so we can have some safety for our women and children.
Yes, sir.
I'm
absolutely.
Like the next generation, because if we don't have it, if we don't think like this, then we're fair game. They're going to say we're all in it together. We're not with them. We ain't did nothing to none of them people.
Yes, sir.
So we
exactly. And that is for real.
Unless y'all down with them, unless y'all want to be bombed down, whatever they got going on with them, hey, they're not going to, if you don't speak up, if we ain't got nothing going on, if we, you know, with them, then we're going to get the rewards that go with people who go to war. That's just how that goes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir.
Absolutely.
So,
yes, sir.
I mean,
and then
we have to become vocal as a group, or we're going to suffer as a group.
Yes, sir. And that is correct. And we've got
floor,
to have some cohesion.
Thank you for allowing me to share your floor, but I'm listening to you. I hear you, and I'm with you. I just need to know where do I stand? What do you need me? How can I help?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah. What you could do, sir, you know, is because, you know, I got your number right here, man. And what I'm going to do after this podcast is over, man, you know, I'm going to give you a call if that's okay. And where we need help at, man, is one, it's getting our message out right there. Also, two, we're interested in advertising for black businesses, you know, at real cheap rates. You know what I mean? You know, coming up on the ground floor. And what we have to do is change the mindset amongst ourselves, particularly with our youth, to have cohesiveness like what these other groups do. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the art of rhythm and poetry. You know, I appreciate R&B. I appreciate jazz. You know what I'm saying? But when I hear these lyrics, man, referring to our women as the B word, our menfolk, man, talking about they these NGRs and this, that, that, the other, and glorifying going to jail, glorifying self-destruction, you know what I'm saying? We have to recognize the fact that all of this is social engineering, as Dr. Francis Quest Welsing had said over 50 years ago. Okay, so that is one, two, a minimum of three generations right there. So we have to get to the next generation, you know, for our babies, man, where they can make the turn on this, is because, see, we are doomed. The black family unit is shattered. Okay, the educational system in the inner cities is shattered, rather if it's New York City, rather if it's Philadelphia, rather if it's Chicago, Illinois, or Cleveland, Ohio, or Los Angeles, California, Oakland, California, or Seattle, Washington. They got it definitely stacked against us, and in these public indoctrination centers, they teach us to sit up here and love alternative agendas and things of that nature right there, and having our children talking about that they're born boys, but they want to be girls, you know what I'm saying? You know, like what happened with Dwayne Wade there in Los Angeles County. You see, that's insanity right there, in my opinion. You see what I'm saying? But however, I recognize the human rights. I recognize the civil rights. But the thing is, too, my brothers, I'm quite sure that you agree with. Nobody recognizes our human rights. Nobody recognizes our civil rights. Like, look what happened with Mr. Tyree Nichols down there in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay? You know, you got black police officers who did this that went and approached this man with a gang-like mentality. Then the cold part about it is that the police chief, old CJ down in Memphis, Tennessee, who came up through the ranks as a police officer in Atlanta, Georgia, she was married to a pedophile. You see what I'm saying? And they try to keep that there, you know, up under the rug and whatnot. So where is some justice in that? You see, as Dr. Marimba Ani has stated in her writing, Velma Alpha, a disaster so bad that it is beyond description. This is what we are going through. You see, then we have to look at the value system of, you know, what our young men are having now and what our young women are having is right now, too. Because, see, right now, man, the whole family unit, you know, has totally been shattered. And then I see our co-host there, the one and only Chad Krumah from Denver, Colorado there with the last 44169. How you doing there, brother Chad? Your mic is unmuted.
Oh, man, I'm all right, Shabaka. These mugs out here in Denver is doing that gatekeeping as usual. They had a debate tonight. Yeah. They only invited 7 candidates out of 21.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I hate to say we kind of like figured that.
I don't know who's okay, on the line because I'm not in the studio. But I was listening to some brother talking about
we
the
have, brother. Yeah, we have Brother Armani with us tonight. Then we also, too, we have another caller there out of the 240 area code, the first 3486, and they're more than welcome to join us. All the thing they got to do is just press 1 and be more than happy to have them on the air. Okay, so Brother Armani was saying.
I'm Comrade Armani, Comrade Bahmani, that is. It is a pleasure.
Thank
you for allowing me to be on with you.
Brother, I'm Chad Krumah, Jesse Paris. I'm running for mayor here in Denver, Colorado. I'm a write-in candidate since they did some shady stuff with the ballots. So I didn't get on the ballot, but I'm still running as a write-in. So if you know anybody in Denver, have them write my name in J-E-S-S-E-P-A-R-R-I-S. To your point, brother, are you doing that?
Are we running for their offices instead of organizing ourselves? We need to be organizing our vote. Wasting that kind of energy in their system would be a faux pas, something that we could really avoid and get a lot more mileage out of organizing our own community to have self-determination. I think that should be the first and foremost thing we should be sharing with all of our people, because that is what's going to give us power.
Brother.
That's what's going to stop us from getting murdered.
Brother, the name of this game is to fight where you at. Wherever you at, do something.
Organize. No fight.
I decided to get into politics. I decided to get into politics. That's my realm. That's not your lane. Find the lane.
We got to have our own politics, brother. That's what I'm saying. We got to boycott theirs. We got to come out of theirs and organize our communities. Their communities, they're using us.
I hear you wholeheartedly, brother. And here's the thing.
We can't not listen yet. We're justifying our own enslavement by going and voting in their state. By not having our own, we're justifying them doing what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
We're consenting. That's what I'm trying to say. We're consenting to our enslavement by going and voting with them. We're legitimizing them when we vote for them. That's what I'm saying. So let's not legitimize them.
Okay, but Brother Armani, his campaign is Black First. You see what I'm saying? In Denver, Colorado, you see? And he's the first one to have made such a claim.
Denver, Colorado is not a black thing, brother. I'm sorry. That's totally not correct. If you're talking about
the
United States of America, we're talking about a white power structure, not black community.
Okay.
No, brother, until we have our own nation state, then all you're talking is, all you're doing is just babbling. Like,
brother,
what are you doing?
What you're doing is treason.
No,
sir. No, don't
brother,
you dare say that. Organize our community is not babbling.
Brother,
are you serious?
Shibaka,
are you serious?
Please put them on
don't
you.
Do that.
I'm not going
don't
to
do that, brother.
Shibaka,
organize
put him on
our
me.
Community is the first.
He is literally talking over the co-host. Stop talking, sir, and listen.
Okay. All right.
Please.
I got him on me, Brother Chuck. Okay, and Brother Monty, we'll be back with you shortly, man. But go ahead, Brother Chet.
Okay, so before I was rudely interrupted, the name of this game is Fight Where You At, Black Family. I'm in Denver, Colorado. I'm fighting where I'm at. and to say that running for political office, there's nothing black about that. Are you serious, dude? We've had politicians since Reconstruction. Like, and I'm the only candidate that is black first. Like, I'm literally putting black people ahead of everybody else. There's nobody else in politics that's doing that. Nobody. So to sit up here and say that's treason, that's bullcrap. And I was trying to get to the brother's point about organizing. Brother, Dr. Clyde Anderson already gave us the blueprint on what we need to do. He gave us the blueprint like 30 years ago on what we need to do. Nobody is implementing what we need to do. The first step is to practice group economics. Yes, I agree with self-determination. It's sovereignty. But all I hear is organize. All I hear is all this talk. We need actual action. So talking is not getting us nowhere. We've been talking for 60 years. That's not getting us nowhere. Talking about we need to do this and we need to do that, that's not getting us anywhere. If we're not actually doing it, then what is the point of talking about it? Talk is cheap at this point. And I'm not one to just talk about what we need to do. We need to actually do it. So with that being said, we're under a system of racism and white supremacy. And there is 9 areas of human activity of which that's controlled. That is economics. That is entertainment. That is education. That is labor, law, politics, sex, war, and religion. So until we control those 9 areas of human activity, we're not doing nothing. So if I'm in the realm of politics and I'm trying to get that under control, and you're sitting up here saying, well, you're legitimizing a legitimate system. No shit, Sherlock. We already know it's a legitimate system. But to hear, well, you shouldn't be participating in that, that's a defeatist mentality. And that's a problem with these older generations. Y'all are defeated. You're not giving the youth no hope for the future. If you're talking like that, then, you know, we might as well just throw in the towel now and let them just kill us all. Because I cannot tolerate that defeatist type of mentality. Well, why are you participating in the white man's system? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? What are you doing? You can unmute the brother, because I would like to hear what he's doing in his locale to better the people.
Oh, okay, brother.
Well,
Imani. Okay.
Obviously, you've been missing the campaign for independence, for self-determination that's been going on since 2015. In several areas that the organization that I'm a part of has been a part of, the Human Rights Policy Officers. And the latest focus has been Detroit because of a lot of things that's been going on up there the last 7 years. So for years we have been campaigning on the ground, not just, you know, talking about running for office in the city, but actually taking over and establishing our own jurisdiction throughout the whole city.
By
registering people and getting people to withdraw their consent to legitimize our own subjugation is the first thing. And you have to talk about that because that's not been talked about. We've been talking about We've been talking about empowering them with their economy. Because when you're building someone else's economy, you're making them stronger. You're not empowering yourself. So that,
what have you been doing for the past 8 years?
Carl Anderson's been saying that, and we still haven't gotten any progress on that. So you tell me what's going on with that.
Asking you, what have you been doing for the last 8 years besides babbling? What have you been doing, sir?
I told you we've been organizing people on the ground in Detroit and several other
organizing
cities.
Organizing them how, sir?
Registering for them to do the vote.
Registering them
for
what?
Independence, yes. We're going
registering them for independence.
Independence. We're voting to withdraw our consent to be governed. You do understand all governments are based on the legitimacy of the consent of the governed, right? So when we withdraw
that
delegitimizes their
position. No, answer my question, sir. you do realize that government means mind control, right?
No, I don't realize that.
Well, you
don't
need to realize
that. I know government is when the people
establish a system
to provide the resources that we need is our government. That's what I know. I don't know about all the other stuff.
Okay,
when
you need to know that.
That's our government.
Sir, if you're
going to
talk about politics, you don't even know the first thing about politics, sir. Do you even know what quid pro quo is?
That's what government means, bro. That we're talking about other things. I'm talking
about.
Sir,
are you going to answer my question or are you just going to keep babbling?
I'm talking about.
Answer the question. Do you know what politics is?
First and foremost. We're talking about the resources.
Okay,
we're not talking about business.
And how are you getting the resources to the people, sir?
First of all, you have to have an understanding
first
that the people have number one.
Answer the question, sir. How
are
you getting the resources
that we have to have? If we don't have to sit in the back end of the people, it doesn't matter what you got going on, bro.
Sir,
and
answer
no,
the question. How are you getting the resources to the people?
First, you got
that
to
need
the consent
them.
Of the people to
no,
have.
No, sir, I don't want you got to do that. How are you getting resources to the people? I don't have to listen to you, sir. You're on my program.
Mute him.
You're on my program, sir. No.
I know.
No, you said enough.
You can mute yourself for a second.
If I could put him on my
statement, you haven't cut me.
No, bro, because your statement makes no sense. You're not going to finish your statement because your statement makes no sense. Now, I ask you a basic question, brother. What are you doing to bring the resources to the people? And all I get is all this tether babble, all this prison babble. Sir, did you do time in the penitentiary? Because all I'm hearing from you is a bunch of prison babble. I asked you specifically, what have you been doing the last 8 years for our people? Oh, I've been telling them to vote to be independent. Sir, that's a nothing burger. What tangible things have you been doing? Have you been feeding people? Have you been clothing people? Have you been housing people? Detroit is a freaking hellhole. They got all these abandoned buildings, all these abandoned apartments. It's an abandoned town. And you're sitting up here talking about, well, my organization's been doing this, and my organization's been doing this. What are the results of what your organization has been doing, sir?
All right, I'm going to unmute him to let him respond to that, Brother Che. We also got 240, you know, they got their hand up. We're going to bring them in a minute. We got an unknown caller, and then, of course, I think I know who that is. I think that's Sarge, and we're going to hear from him in a minute. Okay, Brother Monty, okay, you would like to respond to our co-host, Brother Che and Krumah, sir?
Sure would, Brother Jenkins. I don't mean you any disrespect, bro. First of all, let's start off on that. I don't want you to take me the wrong way. But we've been educating people, which is number one, because you don't have an educated population. You have a bunch of people who don't know what's going on, and they're easily manipulated by so-called people who would like to use jargon that means other things, you know. But for us, government means when people come together to agree on the resources and organizing to provide the resources to the people. That's what a government is and where I'm from. Now, the politics game, when you get into a voting match and you only got 10 people and a group of people have 100 people and y'all vote together, you lose, okay? So we would lose just by the numbers game. So that's a no-win fight. And it doesn't make any sense for us to continue down that road. We've been doing it for too long already. The only thing that does make sense is for us to have our own jurisdiction. And the only way to do that is to nationalize. And you got to go through certain steps. And it starts with self-determination. So to educate the people is the first thing we should be doing while we're organizing for a vote to see what we're going to do in an organized manner as men and women
Brother,
of our own nation.
How are you educating the people?
This was
sir, answer my question.
What would you, Ali, talk about?
I don't care about what Noble Drew Ali talking about, sir. We're in 2023. We're not in 1920-something. I don't care what Noble Drew Ali said. I'm not on that Morris crap, yo. Get to the freaking point. How have you been educating the people? Answer that.
By teaching them about human rights.
By teaching them about
starting
what?
With the right of self. Do you know that's a human right? That's the number one human right that most people don't know about? That's what you got to start with the basics,
self-determination, self-preservation, yes. Every okay. living being has that. Every living being, not just human beings. Every living being on this planet has that. What else is new, sir? You're not telling me nothing new. I'm trying to get to the what is tangible about anything that you're talking about. Because all it is just babbling.
You understand that part, then. There's nothing else to respect to you.
No, you don't understand, sir. What results has this produced in the past 8 years? What results has your organization that you claim you've been doing all this work for and with produced in 8 years?
Are you listening? Are you just... You know
yes,
what? You
I'm listening. Are you
I got
listening,
things I need to do, but
sir,
I just came to share that with you. Do your research
can
on
you
self-determination. Do your research on human rights, and we'll have
ask
a conversation again. But thank you for the opportunity to talk, and you have a great night. Peace and love.
Yeah, goodbye. Wasting our time.
Yeah, we thank our brother Armani for joining us. Okay. All righty. Okay. We got 240. Just got their hand up. Okay, 240, you're on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Peace and greetings. This is Tamiko Royal. I am the comrade to the brother that was speaking, Comrade Bamoni. That's B-A-M-O-N-I. Bamoni, not
yes,
Armani.
Yes, ma'am.
So I would like to elaborate on what he was educating the people on tonight. And that is our right to self-determination. Our right to self-determination means our right to self-govern, because our right to self-government has been denied. And when that has been denied, we're gentrified, and our other basic human rights is also denied. And the three main basic human rights is also being denied. And I'll dig into further when the brother didn't want to let the brother answer the question. I'm not sure what his name is.
He did answer the question.
Excuse me, I'm not done. I didn't even get my point out clear and letting everyone know how we're educating the people.
Okay, let's let her get a point out. Let's let her get
brother
a point
Shabaka,
out, then, Brother Che. Yes, ma'am,
okay,
I am.
I
you know, and I'm
you.
Asking, and Brother Che is our co-host and our co-producer, ma'am.
Okay,
and,
okay. Let
you
me
know,
finish
so,
my point. The three basic human rights are the right to housing, the right to food, and clothing, okay? The clothing may or may not be able to do without. But when we are denied those rights, that is a death sentence. Feeding people, you know, handing people food, teaching them, it's not teaching them how to fish. We need to be fishers of men and women. So when we're fishermen of men and women, we teach our people how to establish our own nation state by establishing our own government with a referendum or a plebiscite. And we do that by the consent of the people. And we don't need the governments, the local politic governments or the state politics government or the federal even politics government. And when you talk about politics, the true politics is international politics that supersedes any other jurisdiction. It supersedes all of that other stuff. And the Constitution and all real politics align with the international law of the number one human right, and that's the right of self-determination. If it don't align with that, it's unlawful. It's very unlawful when it doesn't align with that. Let me finish. How are we educating the people, and what have we done for the people in Detroit? We've housed people in Detroit, is what this brother may not know. We have successful testimony of people being housed. And at the same time, the thug agents in Detroit will try to come against those people, and we've stood firm and told the agents in Detroit to leave those people alone, or they will be dealt with up front and personal. And they will be. Once we have full control as our nation's sake. We put our life and freedom on the line for the rights of the people.
Okay.
With no bones
yes,
about
ma'am.
It, unapologetically black. We cannot listen. I don't know if y'all know much
yes,
about what Malcolm X said. But how
ma'am,
are we going
I grew up in his era.
Let me finish. How are we going to join
yes,
the very people that assassinated them, the very people that assassinated our outspoken leaders about our rights, the very people that assassinated Nat Turner, the very people that assassinated Malcolm X, assassinated MLK, once he realized that what he was doing for 12 years wasn't working, that he said that reform is not working, we must revolutionize. He said the era of reform
okay.
is over. Revolution is what we are focused on, that they were going to Washington to get the check cut. Now, reparations is more than about a check. Reparations is about
right.
restitution and repair. No
yes,
government
ma'am.
Or outside system can repair us. Only we can repair us by displaying unity, by putting aside egos, by using the local resources that the government corporation, the U.S. government corporation, pillage through
mm-hmm.
and exploit. Those resources already belong to the people. All we have to do is
yes,
gain
ma'am.
Control of that with the consent and the standing of the people. When we show that force by the consent of the people, they will stand down by any means necessary. They can do it willingly or they can do it the hard way. Okay, they
okay.
want to put up a fight. We got revolutionaries talking shit all day, every day. This is time for them to put their money where their mouth is. Stop just talking.
Okay.
They got guns and uniforms. They need to be ready to use them on the enemy, the
okay.
common enemy, and not each other.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Let's understand
okay.
this real well. Let's
yes, ma'am. Now, if I may read something. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Royal, if I may read something. Okay, if I may read something right here. Okay, and then Brother Che is our co-host and our co-executive producer, and I respect him running for mayor of Denver, Colorado, because the deck is stacked against him. And please correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Che, on anything I'm
don't
saying.
Don't say that,
is
because
Brother Che,
it's dominated by a U.S. corporation in a European white domination corporation. He's never going to have any standing in there. It's a corrupt system, and he's joining the enemy. Nobody's
okay,
going to
well,
get
actually,
anywhere in that.
Okay, actually, ma'am, in my opinion,
the door all day long. We will get nowhere in that system. It's corrupt.
Okay, ma'am.
So he's doing
it is corrupt.
System.
It is corrupt, okay, but what I'm thinking, ma'am, and I've been knowing Brother Che for quite a few years, okay, what he is doing, in my opinion, and Brother Che, your mic is unmuted, feel free to interrupt me, is that he's bringing the hypocrisy face to face with itself. This man goes feed, you know, the senior citizens every Sunday in the rain, in the snow, in the blizzard,
well, that's
you
great.
Know, in
well,
sunlight.
We got to do more than feed because that's great. We got to do more than that. We have to assert
okay,
our
well,
rights
Mr. Bill,
to
is it, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And then, like I said,
the white man system. That's not asserting your rights inside the white man system. You're working for
okay,
him
so
when you do that.
And,
he's using you as
okay.
a puppet inside his system.
Okay,
there's
so what you're talking
you
about now is self-determination.
The tyranny of democracy. There's nothing no one can
okay.
do inside that system. Nothing.
Okay.
You're wasting your time.
Okay, so Ms. Royal. Okay, Ms. Royal, you are making a lot of sense, ma'am, and believe me, you are blazing and dazing, you know, just like Muhammad Ali used to do when he was heavyweight champ on an intellectual and spiritual basis, ma'am, and I commend you for that. Now, what we got here, and Brother Che is already familiar with this guy, it's an unknown number, and I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts, it's Sarge. Okay, unknown number, your mic is unmuted. Is that you, Sarge?
Ask and ye shall receive. Indeed it is.
Okay, Sarge. What's on your mind
now, brother, now,
what's on your mind?
Now, understand me. I'm not here to be contentious tonight. I'm honestly not. I've heard several things here tonight that have caused me to have questions. And I would, and since, even if I'm going to argue against someone's position, I never want to mischaracterize what that position is. And right now, my understanding of the positions I've heard advocated here is incomplete. So I would like to ask some questions so I can completely understand what your position is, particularly with regard to the matter of self-governance. Now, before I ask the question, I'd like to frame my understanding in the context of what I already know and then ask you the question so I can then have a complete understanding of what it is you mean, particularly by this notion of self-governance.
Okay.
Okay. Now, before I start, I'd just like to remind all the callers here, because I just heard some a little while ago that caused me again to have questions. I'm looking at Article 2, Chapter 1, Article 2, Section 7 of the United Nations Charter. And it says this, and I quote, "Nothing contained in the present charter shall authorize the United Nations to intervene in matters which are essentially within the domestic jurisdiction of any state, or shall require the members to submit such matters to settlement under the present charter, but this principle shall not prejudice the application of enforcement measures under Chapter 7. Chapter 7 has to deal with international disputes that are considered a threat to international security and order." So, with that understanding, and given the fact that international law is not supreme law in the United States, it is the United States Constitution, whether we like it or not, it is, and that is supreme law, and so everything is basically subordinate to that. Now, with regard to self-governance, there are an entity that we're all familiar with that are pretty much self-governing, not completely, but pretty much so, like Indian nations on reservations. They are now, before the United States made all Indians subject to tribal jurisdiction citizens of the United States in 1924, they didn't do that until 1924, Indian reservations or Indian nations were considered foreign nations, and consequently, the United States Senate entered into treaties with these nations, which gave them reservations and made those places self-governing to all people subject to tribal jurisdiction there. But even those nations, those Indian reservations, were largely subject to the United States Constitution with the provisions and exceptions listed in the treaties. So, since I hear this talk about we want our own government and we want this, that, and the other, now I can understand people putting together a slate of candidates. And I remember very well the Black Panther Party manifesto of 1966. In fact, I'm looking at it right now. I got it right in front of me. Some of its provisions are clearly...
Oh, I got it in front of me right now, too, Sarge.
Right,
I got it right in front of me right now, too.
Right.
Yeah,
and some
October
of its provisions... Right. 1966. And some of the provisions from that manifesto are clearly unconstitutional. They can never happen as long as the Constitution is
okay,
in effect.
Okay, which one is unconstitutional, Sarge?
Here we go. We would like...
Yeah.
Item number 8-9. We want freedom for all black people now held in the United States, federal, state, county, city, and military prisons and jails. Now, that's not going to happen unless it's a federal blanket pardon for federal crimes issued by the President of the United States. Other than that, every case would have to be handled on a case-by-case basis through the regular appeals process. I'm not sure you understand
okay,
that.
Sorry. Okay, sorry.
But wait,
let me
get to my question now. I want to get to my question. Now, here's the thing. I just said a moment ago that if you put together a slate of candidates to be involved in elections, my understanding is you don't want to completely eschew the political process. I mean, apparently it sounds like Brother Shea is interested in being involved in the political process. So you put together a slate of candidates, and they get elected. But if they're holding up the office.
I hate to bother you with this, but you asked me a question.
Would you give me an opportunity to answer that before you ask him a question?
Because you asked both of us
Go ahead, Ms. Roy.
Yes, to answer your question about the United Nations in the article. First of all, international law supersedes all jurisdictions. The right of self-determination is the supreme law of the land that was ratified from the original 1941 self-determination acknowledgement that all peoples have a right of self-determination. 1992, Joe Biden, your current president, acknowledged that right and said that he wishes all peoples to see their sovereignty and right of self-determination. So basically, he was telling us and his people all as well that all people have a right to self-determination, and it's up to us to use it. We're the dummies sitting on our asses not using it, walking around with guns like toy soldiers talking about black power. Nobody's using real black power until we stand up and assert our rights and establish our own nation state within a state. We can do this without anyone's permission. It is our right, our God-given, inalienable right to do this without anyone's permission except the people, the majority vote of the people. All you need, if it's a block, the majority of that block. If it's six blocks, the majority of that six blocks. If it's the whole state, then 51% of that whole state. Understand this. Okay, there's some sacrifices to be made within that, likely some bloodshed, but bloodshed don't have to happen. Because if they see all them people banded and standing together, do you think that they want the fallout of gunning down a half a state of people? Yeah, they might. They do it in other countries because they have the support of scared people. When the people stop being scared to support their own rights and stand up for their own rights, regardless of whether they get a scratch or lose an arm, a limb, or shed some blood, or lose a life. First of all, you got to be willing to sacrifice life for freedom. If you ain't willing to do that, get the hell out the way. It's what anybody should do that's doing all this talking. If you're not willing to sacrifice life and freedom, get out the way. Sit down somewhere. Any questions before I pass the mic? I don't want to yield yet until I get all questions answered.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so far, ma'am, I don't have no problem with what you're saying. And Brother Che, his mic is unmuted. I don't have no problem with what he is doing. It's because, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Che, with him running to being the mayor of Denver, he is bringing the city of Denver, if not the whole freaking state of Colorado, face to face with its hypocrisy. Now, here you got a mayor there by the name of Hand Coon, as I call him, or Hand Cop, and all these black-ass politicians, rather than Uncle Tom Bradley in Los Angeles that you had, Mayor Hand Coon, or Larry Lightfoot, they just threw about a Chicago. See, they're not doing for nothing for the community. They're sitting up there playing pity-pat with them, getting patted on their head. You see what I'm saying? They're not out there signing no executive orders, to end these race soldiers from what they're doing to us. They're not taking away their funding, you know what I'm saying?
They don't obey those laws. You have to protect and defend your own rights. They don't obey it. And when you got a mayor on a city council, he works for the Fraternal Order of Police. He don't work for the damn people. I came face to face with a mini mayor. And they don't do shit.
Okay.
And he's going to get up there and do the same thing. Nothing.
No, you don't know that. That's an assumption. That's an assumption. You don't know me from the campaign.
When you realize that you don't run shit up in there in that Senate council. You don't run nothing because it's dominated by a white majority.
Ma'am, stop talking, please, because you don't know what you're talking about. Look,
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
No,
I've been in this long enough.
No, I don't care how long you've been in this long enough. you haven't produced no results. If you've been in this so long, why aren't we free?
You're not paying attention.
What results does he have? And all I get is this have a slight babble.
You didn't give him a chance.
There's nothing tangible. There's nothing tangible about anything that you're saying.
Be quiet, my
it's like that same played out rhetoric from the 60s. This is 2020. This is not 1960.
2023. Get the year right, first of all. You want to know the answer, you got to be quiet long enough to hear the answer.
Get the ideology right. Your ideology is all over the place. It's number prison babble.
Self-determination and having your own nation state. Our ideology is not all over the place.
You haven't even told me what tangible. I literally let you talk yourself into a whole circle. What you're saying doesn't make any sense.
You know what? You sound like just one of them. You're showing the face of a queen already.
You sound like a defeated Negro. Put her on mute. She's being very disrespectful. I literally let her talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and she's not saying nothing that is logical, nothing that is tangible, nothing that is realistic. So put her on mute. Thank you.
Okay, she's on mute. Now, okay, sisters, please stay with us, and we're going to let you to respond. Now, we're going to unmute Sarge, because I know Sarge is going to have a lot to say, and please stay with us, Ms. Royal. Please stay with us, ma'am. Okay, Sarge, you got the floor again, Sarge.
I'm here to gain a more complete understanding at this moment, at least, not necessarily be contentious. Again, I'd like to reiterate what I was trying to do earlier, trying to get this understanding in light of what I already know, which is why I'm trying to get narrow this thing down to specifics so I can get a focused answer, okay? So, again, I'm sorry, but ever since the International Treaty of Westphalia in the 17th century, 1648, every sovereign nation on the planet has rejected all international law that they themselves have not ratified through their sovereign processes. No nation on earth yields to any international law that it is not voluntarily chosen to yield to. That is not true. Now, I don't know what she's talking about with this international law trumps the Constitution. Ain't happening no time soon. Number two, I understand, the natural law right of rebellion. I understand that.
Okay.
People have a natural law right of rebellion, which does not need to be codified in law. However, that means Katie bar the door, because you don't know what's going to happen when you unleash that. But, yes, I recognize.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Sarge. Hold on 1 second, Sarge. I'm going to bring you back. Law and order is a farce if it is perpetuated by denying justice and peace. The problem posed by the Panthers goes further than black liberation. Cold part, it embraces white liberation, national freedom, and collective self-respect. Panthers, in describing themselves as the vanguard, insist that it is only by identifying with the need for black liberation that American whites can free themselves. So, okay, so I'm going to unmute Sister Ms. Raw, and I'm going to unmute you too, Sarge. And keep in mind, Brother Che, you know, is our co-producer, and he
I think we have more or less agreement on that one because I was certainly muted while he was talking.
Okay, hold on, Sarge, let's let the lady go first. Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm muting Sarge. We're going
to
bring
Sarge back in regards to the UN and the international law. I don't know where he got that from, that all sovereign nations have yielded to being independent or establishing their own nation. That is so false. First of all, the majority sovereign nations that are independent, the only reason that they don't have more established resources for themselves is because of sanctions. Like nations like Haiti and Ghana, I believe, and I want to say, I don't want to say Zimbabwe, Central Africa Republic, is because of sanctions.
Yeah, the Congo.
They would have more established if it wasn't for that. And when you go back to the Panthers, yes, they established the Rainbow Coalition because they felt all peoples have a right to freedom. So they had members of other nations that vibrated on a higher vibration that did not deny our rights. And they were progressing towards the matter of international law and politics is why they were murdered, is why Malcolm X was murdered, and is why, not murdered, mm-hmm. but assassinated, is why our leaders mm-hmm. of the most recent decades were assassinated, and is why MLK was murdered, because we're moving from an era of reform to revolution. He said that he was afraid that he led his people into a burning house.
He said that voting has done nothing for us.
He realized that.
Right.
He realized that integration ain't done jack nothing for us, and voting had done nothing
right.
for us. So he realized that we needed to be separate and not integrated, and we did need to be in their system to establish our own system. You know,
okay. There
was a long time when black people were majority Republicans, and you know how
right.
that came about, where all those dominated melanated republic people were assassinated so that the Caucasian descent could control
mm-hmm.
both sides of the fence, the democracy and the republic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Republican.
Yeah, the Democrats and the reptilians, yeah.
First
mm-hmm.
of all, we have to learn from our mistakes. The
right.
whole
okay.
politics of the whole politics of the United States election is rigged from
mm-hmm.
top to bottom. So the only way
okay.
that we can, it's not reformable. It works just fine
okay.
for them. We don't get any
okay.
justice in that system. We never have, we never will, unless you count those two or three people or Caucasians or cops that get sent to prison
mm-hmm.
or whatever. The majority of people in prison is melanated people and you want to say Hispanics. Okay, let's make that
right.
clear. So the prison
right.
population is overran, is built up by our people. We build every damn thing
mm-hmm.
for them to govern it and to have the power over it. Well, the buck stops
mm-hmm.
here with our people. We got to learn from these mistakes and not keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. If we keep doing the same
right.
thing by voting within their corrupt, rigged system, we're going to get that same result. The only thing
okay.
different that we have not done in this land, in America, is to assert our right of self-determination and establish our own nation within nations of each city where we are the majority population. The first example is Detroit. This can be done in every city in
okay.
every state where we are the majority population by way of a domino effect. That would be the most effective
okay.
way. Detroit gets the ground running and does it, the next state and the next state, and everyone to be organizing in
success. Which be Chicago and St. Louis and Cleveland.
And the brother
okay, but Ms. Royal, if I must say.
Done, let me finish before I'm
oh.
interrupted again
yes,
by
ma'am.
Those two brothers. We established a majority vote, a consent of the people. So the people have voiced their will that they want this. The fear is what holds them back from standing up. Now, we
okay.
understand wholeheartedly that the labor is large, but the laborers are few. So it's going to be a few of
right.
them that is willing to mm-hmm. put life and freedom on the line for the rest of the people. Now, I'm doing
okay.
this, and many of my other comrades, wait a minute, do this for the future generations so they don't have to live in the
right.
same type of injustice system so that we can
right.
save our souls and not just have to keep fighting generation over civil laws that don't mean crap to us, that they don't follow those
okay.
laws. So why go into a government that they don't obey themselves? They don't obey their own laws that they establish. And you can make up law after
okay.
law and legislation after legislation, and it don't mean shit because the cop will still gun your black ass down in the street when he fucking get ready.
You damn right about that, man, particularly in Los Angeles. Yeah, you'll get no argument from me on that. Okay, hold on, Ms. Royal. Okay, Brother Che is with us, okay, and we got Sarge. Okay, Sarge, your mic is on muted. Go ahead. We know you got a lot to say. Come on.
Okay, at the risk of getting sidetracked again, I'd like to reemphasize the fact that there were two mighty sovereign nations once upon a time. Nazi Germany, Imperial Japan, mighty sovereign nation
mm-hmm.
that rejected international law, but what it took to get them to succumb was a defeat after a major world war, so that by the fall of 1945, both of those nations had lost their sovereignty because they were occupied by foreign powers. That's the only way you're going to get
mm-hmm.
them to take it, after they've been rejecting international law for decades prior to their defeat. And same thing with Iraq. It was another fairly mighty sovereign nation, at least by Middle Eastern standards. It got defeated in 2003, didn't get its sovereignty back until 2006. Again, it did
mm-hmm.
reject international law, but it took a war to get them to succumb. No nation voluntarily accepts international law without some form of sanction or military might to force them to. They all reject it. I know this from the historical reading of the historical record. It's just a fact. Now, let me get back to my point
okay.
about the nature
okay.
of self-government. Okay? The nature of self-governance and what parameters or what forms it will assume should you get it. Now, I understand Brother Jay is working to elect himself under the political system. I imagine a slate of candidates whom will be allied with him in whatever efforts he has in mind. I get it. Now, but that, of course, that election and his holding that office will be contingent upon his compliance with, one, the state constitution, and, number two, the United States Constitution, because if he doesn't, he could be subject to possibly removal, depending upon what the state constitution says and or whatever actions the federal government might take if he doesn't govern in accordance with that, because Article 4 of the supreme law of the land, Constitution, not international law, says that this Constitution shall guarantee to each of the states a republican form of government that is outlined in the United States Constitution. So my question is, with this understanding that I have of the idea of governance, self-governance, the example of the Indian reservations, the strictures and limitations of the Constitution, how exactly would this idea of self-governance run in any way that might in any way conflict with existing law that doesn't have something to do with the natural law, right of rebellion, and force of arms to change it?
Okay, sorry. I'm going to tell you something, okay? I'm going to unmute Ms. Royal. Okay, Ms. Royal. Okay, let me say this here, ma'am, and then by all means, you know, say what's on your mind. Okay, first of all, let me ask you a question, Sarge. Where are you from? Chicago, right? Okay.
I'm
now, let me
born
ask you a question.
In Chicago, yes, sir.
Okay. Al Capone, Bugs Moran, Policy King by the name of Theodore Rowe, and a few other names. Now, who controlled Al Capone, sir?
Who controlled Al Capone?
Now, yeah, nobody controlled Al Capone because Al Capone did a control
of
Mayor Slimak.
Oh, no, that's not exactly true. It's not exactly true.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the syndicate and the organization didn't exist then, but there was a loose coalition of people of organized crime throughout the United States who could give a general sanction or general approval for certain acts that might affect the activities of the others. They didn't get formal until about the 1950s. But they had They're kind of an informal structure.
Okay, that's when Mayor Daley became the mayor, right? That's when Mayor Daley
became the mayor, right?
Now, isn't it true, Sarge, when Dr. King went to Chicago, Illinois in 1966, and he had wanted to protest, you know, the housing projects about people living in adverse poverty in the Chicago housing project, okay? Didn't Mayor Daley tell Dr. King, hey, man, you pretty much are on your own because there's nothing I could do because they have
to put conditions
here.
He sure did. I remember what happened, Mark.
It was the home of Al Capone for many, many years, right?
Yeah.
Now, you tell me, Doc.
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never seen violence like that downtown.
Okay, and then that's what Dr. King said, you know, we're paraphrasing him, but when he got hit upside the head with that brick, Dr. King said, out of all my years of living in the South, this is the most racist place that I've ever been. Now, I appreciate what Brother Che is doing. It's because Brother Che, they're going against him. They're using all kind of illegal tactics to smear him. They're using all kind of other dirty tactics for him not to get his message out. Now, I definitely appreciate what Ms. Royal is saying. Okay, where sisters speaking out of Motown, she's making a lot of sense. So what is happening here is that we all agree, and those who are familiar with Shabaka St. Croix know how I feel. All this crap is corrupt, man, and we have to do our own self-determination. We have to maintain our own survival. United Nations was a joke, okay. I see Germany, they did it by force. They did it through propaganda. You see, Hitler went up there and called himself the master race. Let him take his ass out there, man, to the deserts of the Mojave Desert, man. Stay in the middle of June, okay? And go to Palm Springs, where Palm Springs is a mile below sea level as opposed to Denver, Colorado, being a mile high of it. Do you know how arid the air is there, sir?
Oh, yeah, so like as dry as it can get. That's why people with lung problems go there.
No. It's beyond dry, dog. It is beyond dry. You will go there, man, okay, like in Chicago, when it goes below zero or it gets some temperatures like in Denver, you could take a cup of water and throw it outside and it will be ice before it hits the ground. In the low desert of Southern California, in June and July, you could take a cup of water, throw it on the ground and it'll dehydrate before it hits the ground, just to show you how hot it is.
I was at Fort Irwin, California for maneuvers. I know what it's like out there.
Okay, no, you were in the high desert. That there's Barstow. I'm talking about the low desert, which is Palm Springs, which is about, I think, about 120 miles due south of there. You see, it's because Barstow's in San Bernardino County. Palm Springs is in Riverside County. You see? So, you know, I'm going to go in here and let Brother Che and definitely, of course, let the ladies speak again. Okay, Brother Che, it's on you.
Remember,
then we're going to Miss Royal, then we're going to go back to Sarge.
Hey, ask him about that form of governance I'm trying to get an understanding of.
Okay, Brother Che.
I would like to know more about that myself, because, like I said, it just sounds like babble to me. So maybe she can elaborate on what it is she's talking about.
Certainly. I would love to do that. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor. Lady has the floor, gentlemen.
When someone can do this, they can either join the Republic of Detroit or they can follow this blueprint, which is a framework of establishing and asserting your own nation within a nation. It's a blueprint. It's a framework.
Okay.
It's three things that must be done to establish a nation within a nation: a governing body, a majority population consent, and a marked land and territory to do that in. When you have all those things, you have the framework. And then all you do is you go in and you run it and you act like you run it and you control your area and your territory. And you eliminate any opposition that opposes it without fear. You either arrest them or you eliminate them, their existence. And you do it without fear. You do it like they would do it. When somebody becomes an officer, a governing agent, whether it be a mayor or whether it be a police officer, a sheriff, once they take their position and put on their badge or be sworn in, what do? They assume their role and they act it out. They don't wait for anybody else's permission. They immediately patrol their community and eliminate anything that ain't right. So we have to take the good and leave the bad. So whatever ain't right, we'll leave their asses in the dust or put them in the dirt. Just simple as that.
Okay.
We can't have fear about this. We got to acknowledge our fear and put it to the side. Acknowledge what it is, deal with it, heal those wounds, and put it to the side. Just simple, point blank. This UN thing,
okay.
Somebody needs to go back and educate themselves because the majority sovereign nations agree to the right of self-determination. Unfortunately, they come under heavy blows with war being funded. The problem is the war is always funded by the U.S. They supply other nations that want to control the resources, the natural resources of oil and gold, by supplying them with the weapons, the mass military weapons. So there's always a war going on because there's always a country that wants to take control over the natural resources in our motherland in Africa. Most of the natural resources come from Africa, right? Everybody can agree with that, right?
Yep.
There's some natural resources in Antarctica or
Silicon
Alaska,
is the main
like
one. Silicon is the main one, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? Just like the vibranium was in Black Panther.
Silicon.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. So that's my point. They always want the power and the control over the natural resources. First of all, water.
Right.
So why do you think Detroit's water is being poisoned and ran with toxins and stuff? Because they want to control that water and allow companies like Nestle to price gouge bottles of water.
Right.
Flint, Michigan still ain't got cool water.
Okay, and ma'am, now if I may say,
derailments, putting toxic fumes in our air, in our soil, and in our waterways, calling it accidents.
Yes, ma'am. Right, that was no accident. You know what I'm saying? And then
it's
to prove your point even further, ma'am.
Conscious of that it's no accident.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Being mayor ain't going to fix that. Being mayor ain't going to fix that. Let's be clear
okay,
on
right,
that. Sure,
you like
so, what you, our people
okay,
are doing
like
is educating the people on their rights. Let me finish answering your question. What else we have done? We've educated the people on their human rights, and their number one human right, the right to self-determination, and their three main basic rights, the right to food, clothing, and shelter. Shelter, if you ain't got no shelter, you're going to succumb to the elements of the cold, the heat, and all of that. We got to have shelter, first of all, and you got to have land to have the shelter. So when you control the land, you get the shelter, and you get the other natural resources. So when you have the people, you can control all of that. You can push them rogue thug agents to the side. Let them stay on whatever side of the state that we allow them to have, if we allow them to have it. And as long as they don't cross that line, they fine.
You're in Michigan, man.
Those ones that have vaccinated our people, they must be held accountable. But we have to get ourselves strong first and educate ourselves in knowing what it is our right to do and to have an agreement with respect and trust. It must be an agreement. We have to decide that there's only one road to freedom. The one road to freedom other than saving our souls in ascension is the right of self-determination. There is no other role. You can't have a role in corrupt politics that's dominated by a white majority. There's no freedom in that. We've been voting for how many years? So what's voting in 2023 going to do? Nothing.
Okay,
that's
if I may emphasize.
That's That's your opinion. Everybody's entitled to
no,
it.
It's a fact.
That's your no, ma'am, ma'am. I literally let you talk and
that's
talk and talk.
And I gotta go.
It's my time
I gotta go
to talk.
And waste time on ignorance.
Yeah. Goodbye. Jesus Christ, man! I'm so sick of this prison babble. All this damn babbling. I didn't hear no kind of solutions to nothing. All it was, we need to declare our sovereignty. We need to do this. We need to do that. That sounds like the damn Morris Science Temple. Oh, we just need to declare that we're all war citizens and declare our... So you want to go to war with the United States. You know that the United States is not just going to give you land to do all this stuff that you're talking about, right? Like, you're actually declaring... that's an act of war, right? But, oh, my God.
Okay, well, as you know, Brother Chad.
May I say something here? Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay. I think I now have my question has now been answered in at least two separate permutations of this self-determination notion. Number one, I think I just heard a bunch of fanatical delusion from the lady because she's asking for literally a state of war. Because the Constitution of the United States getting free law of land, not international law of self-determination, ain't got nothing to do with it. It just says flat out, no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, and any state, nor can any state be formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as that of Congress. So what she's asking for in her case is her hope that the United States, the states or states she's forming this new nation in, and the federal government doesn't move with military action to prevent what she wants to do. That's what, apparently what she's hoping doesn't happen. Now, Brother Che, I can understand what Brother Che wants to do. He wants to get a elected office within the existing electoral system and work to make changes within that system. Now, I may be oversimplifying that, but am I correct?
Yeah, you got the gist of it, Sarge. You got to start where you're at. Yeah.
Now, are you going to consider yourself bound? Because, and when you take that office, you're gonna take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. Are you going to consider yourself bound by that oath?
Am I going to consider myself bound by that oath?
Yes, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Denver, because I know it's going to be in there.
Yes. Yes, because I'm
Denver is
the commander
in the state of Colorado, Sarge.
Oh, I'm sorry. State of Colorado.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just want to see. I'm just trying to get an understanding here now, because you know, like I remember, I'm thinking of the old Black Panther Manifesto of 1966, which would exempt black, for instance, blacks from military service. Clearly, that would be unconstitutional because whatever law applies, any other citizen has to apply to black people.
Hold on, Sarge. Hate to put you on deep, but I got to say this right here. There was a young man in 1967 at the age of 25 years old, okay, who had a very, let's say, rough profession. And he was quite exceptional at his profession. And this man had sacrificed his prime years of that profession to oppose an unjust war. One, there was not declared. Two, Bell Helicopter benefited greatly from it. Three is, okay, it was not declared by the congressional body. Okay, so I just have to put that in there, Sarge. Now I'm on mute. Okay, Sarge, you got the floor.
I know you probably talked about Geronimo Pratt. I know about Geronimo Pratt. I know about his heroic
Geronimo Pratt was a veteran of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I know about his disenchantment with the Vietnam War afterwards and his activities with black. I know Geronimo Pratt was definitely a heroic man in the Vietnam War, and he's a man of character and principle, whether I agree with him or not. I understand that. Got it. But I'm simply saying is, whatever laws apply to any citizen applies to any other citizen that's similarly situated, okay? And that would include the obligation to be subject to a selective service. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That me, I'm not even saying whether I agree with it or not. I'm just saying it just is, okay? So that's why
but,
I asked the question.
But what did the man say, though, Sarge? But what did, Sarge, what did the man say when he refused induction? That, one, his conscience is objective. Two is, ain't no Vietnamese ever bombed our church. Ain't no Vietnamese ever lynched our men. Ain't no Vietnamese ever raped our women and killed our babies. That happened in the United States of America, Sarge. Now, Sarge,
okay. Hey,
man,
yeah, but
you know, we agree disagreeably, but see, but Sarge, but just like what Ms. Royal was saying, okay, to put it in a cluster, but just like what Brother Jay is doing, putting it in a cluster, and you're bringing this decadent society face to face with itself on its hypocrisy.
Okay, I get it. Now, also, I understand you bring up the issue of Muhammad Ali, but remember, all I said was you have to be subject to the selective service laws. Muhammad Ali was subject to them. As a result of his being subject to them, he raised the issue of conscientious objector status, which he had a right to do under those selective service laws, and he was ultimately vindicated by a decision of the United States Supreme Court. So everything he did was in accordance with the law. That's the point I'm trying to make. Not that you can't be against the war. I mean, there's all kind of conscientious objectors. They have one guy, Desmond Doss, who got the Medal of Honor, and he was a conscientious objector. He just didn't want to kill anybody. He wanted to be a medic. He was a conscientious objector.
Okay, well, there was also,
okay, so
they okay,
got the Medal
there was also a guy by the name of a, in World War II. Hold it, Sarge. Now, hold on, Sarge. There was a guy by the name of Private Slovic, you know, who was a conscientious objector, and he had went into
running
his weapons to his commanders.
No, he was not a conscientious objector. That's not true. He was not a conscientious objector.
Enlighten me about Private Slovic.
No, I studied that case extensively. Because he is the only American executed for a purely military offense since the Civil War. Then the United States Armed Forces executed 200 or so men during World War II, but it was mostly for the same crimes they could have been executed for in civilian life, okay? I'm talking about Slovic was the only one executed for purely military offense. And he literally wrote a letter to General Dwight David Eisenhower after his court-martialed and sentenced to death that he just didn't want to go into combat. He didn't say he was a conscientious objector. He didn't want to go into combat when he said he'd go do any other job, just get me out of the infantry. He repeatedly told the officers all the way up the chain before he was court-martialed that, hey, look, you can go back. Just take this all back. Go back to your unit. All will be forgiven. He was given repeated chances to do it, and he kept turning it down, saying he would take his chances with a court-martial because lots of people get sentenced to death. I think like 1,000 men were sentenced to death for desertion and absent without leave. Well, desertion during the war. Many of them got death sentence, and nobody got executed but him because he put it in writing. That's why he got executed.
Okay.
But he wasn't a conscientious object.
He
was not a conscientious object. That's the point I'm trying to make. He was not.
Okay. Okay, Sarge, I'm going to have to put you on mute for a minute, and I'm going to unmute you and when I put this question right here. What about all the black GIs who were murdered out of World War One? Okay. What about the black GIs that who were murdered out of World War Two when they went back to the Jim Crow South and they went into areas that said white only? And these was U.S. servicemen, right? But they were burned, lynched, castrated. You see, so I appreciate, you know, what Sister Ms. Royal position is on that. I appreciate what Brother Che is trying to do there in the city of Denver, because Brother Che is bringing the town fathers of Denver face to face with its own hypocrisy. Okay, Sarge, you got the floor.
If you want me to say that because crimes such as murder, which you just said the word murder, which automatically makes it a crime, because crimes were committed against black servicemen, therefore they should be exempt from military service, does not negate the principle that no, they shouldn't be. They should be subject to the same laws as everyone else is and receive the protection of the laws too. And if they're not receiving the protection of the laws, that is the fault of the government that's supposed to give them that protection now, isn't it? That is not a reason to say that because they're not getting the protection of the laws, that therefore they should be immune from laws regarding military service that other citizens are subject to.
Okay, well, Sarge, with your statement right there, you just proved Ms. Royal's point, okay, that it is corrupt, that it is selective. You see what I'm saying? You just proved her point.
I wouldn't necessarily argue with you about that. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily argue with you about that.
You just proved Brother Chad's point, Sarge.
Okay, so then what are we supposed to do then? We're supposed to disregard the law then? Or are we supposed to work to change it?
Sarge, just like Ms. Royal said. Just like what a guy said in 1967, man, who wrote a book called Revolutionary Suicide. You have reactionary suicide, and you have revolutionary suicide. Reactionary suicide, oh, I can't pay my bills. Let me go kill myself. According to Dr. Newton in his writing, revolutionary suicide is this. Well, if I'm going to be killed, it's going to be trying to make a change as opposed, you know, to living on my knees, I much rather die on my feet. Now, am I correct in that there, Ms. Royal? Okay, 240. Ma'am, are you still with us?
Well,
her mic is open.
I understand the impulse there, brother. I understand the impulse to not want to serve when you're being badly mistreated, but I can guarantee you, knowing my father and what he told me about the nature of his service in the segregated 92nd All-Negro Division in World War II, and I understand how he can be outraged or all things he's outraged over, one thing he did say, and just about every veteran I've ever spoken to, would they have wanted to be exempted from service? To a man, almost every one of them I spoke to about it said, no, they wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
With two exceptions, I can think of.
Why is that?
I spoke to dozens of black veterans. Dozens. Interviewing them for interviews or articles and other things. I wrote about black, when I was doing research for a book about the black volunteer infantrymen during World War II who volunteered to be integrated as segregated platoons in white infantry companies toward the end of the war after the Ardennes Offensive.
Okay.
And to
now,
a
let
man,
me ask you this question,
they said they would still serve even though they were treated that badly. As much as they hated it, they still wanted to serve.
What would make them think to do that as opposed to doing it for themselves? I'll tell you why. Okay, it's because that's still the chain on the brain right there. See, because you got to understand, Sarge, as you already know, slavery in the United States, man, was some of the most barbaric, the most degraded forms of slavery in the history of mankind. And this is why these other groups, particularly the Irish calling up, you had Irish slaves and all that. Man, I don't pay that crap no mind. Why? Because that don't concern me. Okay, I'm not worried about no British. I'm not worried about no French. I'm not worried about no Irish. You see what I'm saying? I'm worried about our people. See, upgrading the quality of our lives and doing for ourselves, you know, as the sister was saying, as Brother Che, you know, is saying. Okay, but why are you sitting up here going to your oppressor with his made-up law? You see what I'm saying? You might as well sit there and scratch your ass and say, Yazimba. That's the problem, as Malcolm said. Boss, we sick.
Well, the gentleman you just cited moments earlier said, remember what Muhammad Ali said? He said, if they invade the United States, I'm going to be there to fight. Even Muhammad Ali said that. And wouldn't the discrimination wouldn't have changed any. He said if there was an enemy invading our shores tomorrow or something like that, that he would be ready to go in the armed forces and fight. Even though discrimination
is
still there.
No, Ali was talking about
in
regard to his own
personal
survival. Okay, Sarge. Ali was speaking of his own personal
safety. I think the same thing motivated those men I interviewed. Love of country, whether or not it's right or wrong or perfect with a black man or whatever, it's still your land.
Sir, our people were brought here. Our people never got together and said on a collective basis, hey, we want to go over here to America. Hell, they didn't even know what America was because we were busy over there on the continent developing the concepts of trigonometry, developing the concepts of maps,
developing the concept of navigation, of healing, of living within nature. Of course, we had conflicts on the continent, but as I stated to you before, Sarge, on many other podcasts before, even when me and your boy Pianki got into it on Mr. Talk Show.
I'm sure you did. But look, man, like,
okay,
but look, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. It's a weird thing about
Sarge,
your homeland.
Sarge,
even the defective homeland.
Sarge. And one thing you're not going to do, man, is over talk the executive producer here or the co-executive producer. I'm going to finish my point, then I'm going to unmute your mic. Okay. When one nation in Africa or tribe, wherever you want to define it as, you know, the losers were just incorporated into the winning party. It was a savage from Portugal with his nasty, stinking ass. The same thing with that savage from England and France and the Belgians who did not know how to wash their asses. Boy, I sure could imagine in the 15, 1600s when England and France had them chateaus and them castles and had that moat going around there, man, I bet you to make you vomit. Okay. But the cold part about it is in Kemet, or what the fuck boys out of Greece called it, Egypt, they had a sanitation system. Okay. You know, they taught women who are out of Europe about feminine hygiene. Your mic is unmuted, Sarge. I just wanted to get my point in. Come on, with
I,
you got the
floor. I guess it. But even a filthy person, as you want to phrase it, a filthy, unhygienic, unwashed barbarian still wants to protect their country. That goes for just about everybody. And that would include, I believe, mm-hmm. the overwhelming majority of black people, should they perceive an existential threat to the United States. I believe that, even today. And if certainly back then, like when my father was in the service, and like I said, even Muhammad Ali acknowledged that. A threat to the United States, I'm with this country. You know, but I don't want to go kill no Viet Cong 8,000 miles away, 10,000 miles away.
You're gonna have to prove that one there to me, because I was very,
okay,
very
I'm
familiar.
Okay, I'm gonna get the quote.
And I need to know the name of the book.
I heard him say it.
I'm getting ready to pull it off.
I had to paraphrase it, but I heard him say it.
Okay, I'm getting ready to pull it up right now. Okay, let's see. Oh, good. Okay. Muhammad Ali and the war in Vietnam. Okay. All right, that is Google size work. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Okay. You still with us, Brother Check?
Yes, Shabaka, I'm still
Brother
with you. I'm just on mute.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because I'm pulling up this stuff here with Ali in the war. Okay. All righty. Okay, I want to see here. All right. Ali gives a stance on the war in Vietnam. Okay. Now, hopefully that this here would come through. Now, when you do this here, Brother Che, there's, when we pick up the audio on the platform, okay, trying to get it to come in here. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Okay, Sarge, you there, Sarge?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, I'm trying to pull Ali up right here. Okay, Sarge, do you have a date when Ali made this statement?
No, I can't remember the date. It was a while back, but I do remember seeing him say it when he was being asked about it by reporters at a press conference.
Okay, all right. Well, let me see, because I'm pulling up old episodes.
The reason I remember it is because it surprised me so much to hear him say it. I didn't think he'd say anything like that. That's why I remembered it.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering if the man is going to be misquoted, is because I'm thinking of what he was saying was that he preserved himself and formed himself. If he himself was attacked, okay, I don't think he gave a damn about America.
No,
because let's be real, America did not give a damn about him.
He was stating under what circumstance he would join the armed forces, and he said he wasn't going to do it for the Vietnam War.
Okay, hold on, guys. I'm trying to pull it up here. Okay, Brother Chase, are you available, sir, to pull anything up, sir, on your devices where you're at right now? Now, all I'm getting here, once again, is a damn commercial. Okay, because Brother Che is better at this than I am. Okay, Brother Che, you there?
Yes, Shabaka, okay, I'm here. I'm talking to Lake.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you if you can. Could you pull up any articles on Ali doing his refusal for the Vietnam War? Because Sarge is saying is that Ali would have fought for America if he himself was in danger. And I'm saying is that Ali or any other man would have fought for themselves if their self-preservation was in danger. But as far as going up there to save America, no, because Ali made America too much money. See, so I'm just, self-checking myself on this right here.
Okay, I got the quote. You ready? Are you ready?
Okay, where is it at? I need a date and a time and who
okay,
he was saying to when he was saying
okay, I got the interview. You can hear him say it in his own words. I can pull up the part where he says in his own words. He'll let you hear it out of his own mouth. But here's the quote before I give you that part, because I got to go to that part. Because I wouldn't – why did you say I'm not going to fight the Viet Cong? Interviewer number one, Muhammad Ali. Because I wouldn't and I didn't and it was wrong. But if America got in trouble and it really was a war and it was a just war, I'd go. But I wasn't the only one.
Okay.
Many people protested.
Okay,
some
hold
went
on.
To jail.
Hold on,
sorry. Me being so famous, it was publicized.
Okay, hold on a second, Sarge. Okay, I have to meet you all, Sarge, because see, I'm not going to sit here and argue. All right, I think what Ali's, my interpretation of what Ali is saying at right there is self-preservation for himself, okay? It's because if you ever read his autobiography called The Greatest Mile Story, he went there, got the gold medal in 1960s Rome. And then he said that he was so proud of having a gold medal that he can go sit down at the restaurant in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. Ali walked into the restaurant that said white only on him with his gold medal on. And they said, nigga, we don't serve your kind. And that's when Mr. Ali took his gold medal and threw it off the bridge. Okay, Sarge. You got the floor.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Here's what I'm saying. Now, it's a 19-minute and 58-second interview. I'm going to have to find exact point because I got a transcript of the interview along with it. But, again, these are his words. But if America got in trouble, not him, America, but if America got in trouble and it really was a war and it was a just war, I'd go.
That's
pretty clear to me. He put some qualifiers on it, true, but he didn't categorically deny his willingness to fight to defend the country.
Okay, Sarge, can I tell you something? Have you, okay, you're older than me, so I know you've seen some of Ali's fights on TV, right?
I ain't missed one of his fights. I've seen every single one of them.
Okay. Now, do you recall that at quite a few of his fights, man, that they did not play the national anthem, man, before they introduced the main event? What song did they play? And I'm going to tell you the song that they played. The same song that Ms. Shirley Ralph sang at the Super Bowl. And what did the majority of white people do when Ms. Ralph sang that song called Lift Every Voice and Sing? They sat down. They didn't pay no respect. So the Air Force Stars, that goes to prove Ali's point even more, is that the American ethos despise
and hates black people, Sarge. You see, what we have to do on a collective basis, Sarge, is that we have to come out of this ass-scratching, yassa-bossing syndrome. As Brother Malcolm had said, you had the field Negro and you had the house Negro, okay? The field Negro go tell the house Negro, hey, man, let's get away from here. Let's separate. Let's leave this evil mast. You know what the house Negro would say? He would say, man, you must be crazy. You know, leave this nice, good old house that we have right here and leave this good white man? You must be crazy. If the house caught on fire, the house Negro will be the main one, man, to put the fire out, more so than the master. The field Negro will be sitting up there praying that they some bitch burn down to the ground. And rightfully so, due to the brutalization. See, what it is here, people, is that the chain is on our brain, okay? When you look at Candace, when you look at Omarosa, when Trump threw out the White House, when you look at the old house Negro Sheriff Clark there in Milwaukee, Uncle Tom Bradley, you see what I'm saying? It's this mindset that has to change. Look at Barack Obama, first black president of the United States. He didn't issue no executive orders against the police departments or the race soldiers. You know what I'm saying? That were killing us like Mike Brown, Tamir Rice, you know, as Ms. Royal was saying. You feel what I mean? What about that, yeah, man? What about
well,
that?
Well, you know, I don't think they'll abuse you about Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin. Now, you know, we just got different spinning on that one. That's just all there is to it.
Okay, and hold on, Sarge.
I
hate to do this here to you, Sarge. I'm going to meet you again, then I'm going to unmeet you after what I'm saying, then I'm going to let you talk. Okay, first of all, Mike Brown was murdered. Trayvon Martin was murdered. Breonna was murdered. And you see this pattern of where these race soldiers are going out murdering us just for the hell of it, you know, without being held responsible for. Now, what's up with that one there, Sarge? Enlightened.
Well, you know, we just going to have fundamental disagreement about that one. There's no way I'm ever going to say, given what I know about the case, the facts, the evidence, and the court proceedings, that either of those gentlemen that killed those two men were innocent. I mean, guilty. There's no way I'm going to say anything like that. I'm just not going to agree.
You
agree.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, Sarge, you got to agree with me, Sarge. Sarge, my point is what I'm saying is that you go into court, okay, particularly in Los Angeles County, California, okay, that has a 94% conviction rate. Let's look at your boy, Mark Furman. They asked Mark Furman during the O.J. Simpson trial, Detective Furman. And keep in mind, Mark Furman was a crash officer, community resources, street hoodlums, which was a division of SWAT. Have you ever used the term nigger? Furman gets up there, no. So they pull a tape that Furman was given for an interview of someone writing a book. And Furman says, you take four niggers. The first nigger, you beat the second nigger worse than you did the first nigger. You beat the third nigga worse than you beat the second one. The fourth one is going to tell you what you want to know. And the fifth one is going to confirm. Now, that sounds like some mighty fine police work to me, Sarge. For Nazi Germany. For South Africa. The Boers. You know what I'm saying? For Hitler.
Well, any police officer do that, I would have to agree with you. If a police officer actually does that, then I'm not going to argue with you one iota. You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
But what do you want me to say about that?
That
therefore we shouldn't have police or what? What we should do with police?
Okay.
Make it illegal, which it already is.
Okay, hold on, Sarge. Hold on. I got to read something right here. And if you're still with us, Ms. Rowe, please join back in here. Okay. Point number, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. We believe we can end police brutality in our black community by organizing black self-defense groups that are dedicated to defending our black community from racist police oppression and brutality.
Now, here's Dr. Newton's word. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of which you believe and uphold, Sarge, that the U.S. gives a right to bear arms. We therefore believe that all black people should arm themselves for self-defense. Now, in the state of California, if you are caught with a firearm, Sarge, you do 5 years. You see what I'm saying? They even had a saying. They even had a saying, have a gun, go to prison. So the great state of California, okay, is in violation of this Second Amendment. That is swore, because you told, you know, our brother here who's running for mayor, that he's going to uphold the Constitution, right? But the legislators and that sick-ass Ronald Reagan, they violated the Second Amendment. You get caught with a gun in California, man, you're doing 5 years. They don't have it registered or unregistered. When you travel with a firearm in your vehicle in the state of California, it must be in the trunk, and the ammunition and the weapon must be separated. Now, what do you got to say about that, Sarge? I can't hear you.
Oh, I got a lot to say about that, brother. Look at here.
Okay.
For once, we got near total unanimity on this one. I've been believing in the right to keep and bear arms ever since I learned about the Deacons for Self-Defense. And all the people who resisted by force of arms, the depredations of the Knight Riders and the others in the South after Reconstruction. I believe fervently in the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding citizens. I even believe they ought to have the common arm of the infantry soldier has that particular weapon, meaning a selective fire assault rifle if and when they can afford to buy one. So you ain't got no argument with me.
But
none, zero. We are on the same page.
Okay, now, Sarge, when Ms. Royal was saying the same thing about self-determination for ourselves, you disagreed with. Now, what do you got to say about that, Brother Jay? And keep in mind, folks, we're in our last 8 minutes, so if anybody has any closing comments, now is the time to get them in. Okay. Brother Jay?
Wow, I never thought that Sarge would have an agreement. We're getting somewhere. Are we all doing our closings now?
Yes, sir, we are.
Okay.
Did you just go to the floor, me?
Oh, my God. Okay, thank y'all for tuning in. I'm sorry we all had a misunderstanding about what sovereignty is and self-determination. I would like to know, I'm not going to ask no more questions. Hopefully we do another show where we can get some more clarity on what it is that Mr. Royal and the other gentlemen were talking about. I am familiar a little bit with the Atlantic Charter. I don't know if that's what they were referencing. And be careful, black family. We are at war. According to Mr. Royal, they're actively declaring war on the United States, which I'm trying to figure out how we plan to win that, because we don't have the numbers and we don't have the military to do that at this time. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just this is just not the time. Well, we can prepare ourselves for that. As far as the politics, you know, politics is quid pro quo. If I give you my vote, I want something tangible for it. For the last 26 years, we haven't been getting untangible for our vote. I disagree when people say your vote doesn't matter, especially at the local or state level. Now, at the federal presidential, you might have a point there. But at the local and state level, I disagree with that because your local politics would dictate your day-to-day wherever you're at. And under this current system, until we change this current system, that's what we're going to have to deal with, unfortunately. With that all being said, thank y'all for tuning in to this episode of Sabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Make sure y'all check us out every Saturday for Frontline Black News. We have a brand new episode this coming Saturday. Also, make sure you check out the Revolutionary Agenda on YouTube and Facebook. And if you are in the Denver area, the ballots are going to drop next week. So write in Jesse Parris, J-S-S-E-P-A-R-R-I-S, on your ballot when you get it next week. So peace, love, light, reparation, and separation. Chan Krumah's out.
Okay. All righty. Okay, thank you there, Brother Che. Okay. All righty, Ms. Royal. Okay, do you have any closing comments, ma'am? 240? Okay. All righty. Okay, my closing comments. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very, very much for joining us here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. And the air date of this episode is March 7th, 2023. And please pull up some of our back episodes as well, too. You can go to Google to them and just simply drop Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, okay, in the search bar, and you should get them. So what we're going to do is that we're going to go out with a song by Junior Walker called Shotgun, made in the year 1966. And this song is dedicated to the memory of the Minister of Defense, Dr. Huey P.